want to pray before we start, if you would. Let's bow our heads, and if you'd ask the Lord to help me, I sure would appreciate it. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening, and I stand in need. Lord, you know my inabilities, you know my weaknesses, you know my frailties, you know my shortcomings. And Lord, I'm just asking you, if you would, to cleanse me for a few minutes, and may your unseen hand guide me, guide my mind into the right thoughts, and give me clarity of speech that I can be easily understood, and open the hearts, and do in our lives tonight what needs to be done. Father, I'll thank you for it. I'll praise you and uplift you and honor you for all that you accomplish. Help us now if there's anything that would hinder the working of the precious Holy Spirit. Would you please hold it back for just a few minutes and allow Him free course in our midst. Do what needs doing. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. I want to read a couple of verses here. Of course, we know Peter's dealing with suffering and struggling and some apostasy is tied in there. But we come down toward the end of 2 Peter, and we have a couple of verses, and I'd like to read verse 17 and 18, and then just take a little phrase and talk to you for just a few minutes, and I don't think I'll keep you long tonight, but I just want to share just a thought with you. The Bible says this in 2 Peter 3, verse 17 and 18, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before..." Let me back up and start again. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Now, I want to kind of just focus in on the little phrase there, "but grow in grace and in knowledge." But grow in grace and in knowledge. And we talked about some challenges we have in the Christian life this morning. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of our problems and our challenges is due to the fact that some have not grown as they should. Some's not reached the spiritual maturity. And so we have to have leeway for that. And I'm just going to kind of talk to you for a few minutes. Here's the thing: as you grow and mature, if you're not real careful, you'll be critical of other people who don't do exactly as you do. And you'll be harsh and you'll be hard on them. And instead of you allowing the Lord time to deal with them, you will verbally attack and maybe write them off, when in fact the real issue is just a matter of growth. And so here's what Peter's saying, and Peter's getting ready to die. Peter's soon gonna leave this life, but here's what he says as he closes out: but grow. And so I want us to think about that. And what do we mean when we say grow? What does that mean? I think about the simplest way I can think of it is, as we talk about spiritual growth, we're referring to a process by which a saved saint, a saved child of God, becomes more like Christ. Becomes more like Him. That's the goal for us all, to be like Christ. And so we have to understand that that's where we're headed. And I want to say this: folks don't grow up overnight. They just don't grow up overnight. You're not going to take a little, somebody's just gotten saved, and they're not going to be a spiritually mature believer. And so mature believers have to have patience and long-suffering with the immature. And you need to understand that. You need to get that down in your heart and mind. The young saved, they won't always walk the way they ought to walk. They won't always talk the way they ought to walk. They won't always have the right demeanor or spirit about them that they ought to have. They may not love others. They may have a tendency towards selfishness and what's best for them. And so I just want to kindly talk to you for a little bit tonight about this thing of growth. And the first thing I want to say, it's a normal spiritual progression for you to grow as a Christian. It's normal. The Bible just speaks of it as something that's going to happen. And I'm going to share a few scriptures with you or something that should happen. Maybe I ought to say it that way. But as you go along in your Christian life, you ought to grow. You ought to become more like Christ. You ought to be more like Him. And if you do, if you're not doing that, you're no different than a little baby, let's say that's 4 years old, who is really has the strength and the social skills and whatever else little babies develop of a 1 year old. If you had a child who was 4 years old and was acting like a 1 year old, you would be very concerned about them. Is that not so? Would you not be troubled? I mean, it wouldn't be a matter of, well, we'll just wait and see what happens here. No, it wouldn't be a matter of that. You'd be very upset. You'd be bothered about it. You'd probably take them to the doctor. You'd probably have them tested and all these things just because they were not growing. Now, here's what I'm going to say. Spiritual growth, I understand the importance of physical growth, but spiritual growth is much more important than physical growth. There's much more at stake there. And so I want to show you just a few scriptures to try to get across this fact that it's just normal for us to grow. If you're not growing, that's abnormal. Spiritually, you're unhealthy if you're not growing. Can I say it this way? Spiritually, you're sick if you're not growing. Now, I don't know. You can't always measure growth from what you see. I'm well aware of that. These folks grow and you never realize they're growing, but they're just moving right along spiritually. I'm not trying to say you can just look at somebody and say they're growing. We're going to talk about some things we see in Christians who are growing. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not growing spiritually, you're sick. If you're not growing spiritually, you're unhealthy. You have a spiritual problem. And so we need to understand that. But let's look at a few scriptures. I've got a short message, so we can turn to a few of these scriptures. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I want us to read verse number 3. The Bible says this, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." Now, when it speaks about the faith growing exceedingly, it doesn't just take time out and just laud and build up and praise and exalt, although He is thankful, but it's as if that's just what the way it's supposed to be. That's just the normal way of doing business. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, right there beside it, verse 9 and 10. "But it's touching brotherly love. Ye need not that I write unto ye, for yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren," notice what it says, "that you increase more and more." That you increase more and more. Here's what Paul said. You need to just keep growing in the graces of God. In this particular grace, we're talking about brotherly love. But there ought to be a growth. It ought to be natural for you to be more like Christ next year than you are this year. That's how it ought to be. And we can look, let's just look at a few more. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. It says this, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And increasing in the knowledge of God. So there ought to be an increasing. There ought to be more and more an increase in your love. There ought to be a growth. And it's not anything that the Bible makes, if I could say it this way, makes much over. It's as if that's just normal. That's just how it ought to be. That's the Christian life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, it says this, if I can find it. I believe it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15. Not boasting things without our measure, that is, of other men's labor, but having hope when your faith is increased. We see this thing more and more, increase, be more in the Lord, growing in grace. And all through the Word of God, we see these little truths. You can look in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12, and Ephesians 4 and 15, Philippians 1 and 9, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1, 1 Peter 2 and 2. And all of them speak of the believer just growing in grace. Just going on and being more for God. And I guess what I'm saying, we ought to take inventory of ourselves. We ought to take inventory of ourselves, and we ought to ask ourselves this question, are we growing in grace? Are we more what we ought to be? Are we more like Christ this year than we was last year? That's a fair question, don't you think? I believe that's so. I believe you ought to be more Christ-like. If you're not, you're backing up. And if you would notice in our text, if I were to get back to our text, I want you to notice the comparison that he makes. He says this, he compares growing in grace, and he compares the flip side of it. If you don't grow in grace, here's what he says. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. In other words, if you don't grow in grace, there's a possibility of you being led away with the error of the wicked. There's a possibility of you falling from your own steadfastness. And so we see there's an importance placed on growth. And I want to say to you parents tonight, it's important that your children grow in grace. Your children, you have the responsibility to spiritually educate them and to train them. And it ought to be in the back of your mind, are my children growing in grace? And it ought to be in your mind, am my family growing in grace? And it ought to be in the pastor's mind, is the church growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord? That ought to always be before us. And so here's what I want to say. It's just normal for you to grow. If you're not growing, you're abnormal. It's against the normal progression of the Christian life. Now, some folks think those that grow is abnormal. Well, they're super Christian. I mean, they're just something special, but that's not really how it ought to be. It ought to be those who don't grow is abnormal. Growth for a young baby in Christ, growth is a normal process, and if you're not growing, you're missing out somewhere, something wrong. You're sick. You're unhealthy. There's a problem somewhere. And the Lord can help you with it. And so, first of all, we say it's a normal process. But then, I want to say this, it's the will of God for you to grow in grace. God wants you to grow in grace. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to do well. 1 Peter, I want you to look with me for just a minute. 1 Peter chapter 4. I can find the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, I should say. And verse number 2, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now it seems to me that this is implying to us, if we're going to grow, we're going to have to get rid of some things in our life. If you look at that particular text, we see that if you're going to grow, you're going to have to lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies. A lot of people never grow because they're hypocritical. They try to say they're right when they know they're wrong. They try to think they're living right and they know deep in their heart they're not what they ought to be. I'm going to tell you, if you ever grow, you're going to have to be honest-hearted with the Lord. You're going to have to say sometimes, Lord, I'm struggling. I need help. Lord, I'm not what I ought to be. And Lord, would you help me to get past this and grow and go on with you? I mean, that's just how it is. You've got to lay aside your hypocrisy and envies. Oh, we're so envious. We want what our neighbors have, what the Joneses have. We've got to get past this thing of envy and covetousness and all them sort of things and get our minds off the world and get our minds focused on the heavenly. My, we have to, if we're going to grow, we've got to put aside the envies and the hypocrisies and all evil speakings. All evil speakings. And my, we could go a long ways there. Many times the ones who are so critical of others are the ones who are the most immature. That's right. I know a family right now, the best people in the world, but my, they're so critical of other people. They live pretty good, but my, they expect so much out of people, and maybe it very well could be they've got some problems of their own they need to take care of. Instead of being focused on somebody else, here's what I believe to be true. If you're going to grow, you need to focus on you. You need to get yourself straightened up. And I'll tell you what y'all do, instead of talking about others, you ought to pray for them. Hey, what can you do besides keep your life what it ought to be as much as you can by the grace of God and pray for those who are struggling? Well, don't you think that'd be a good idea? I sure do. Oh, we're so busy, we're so focused on somebody else and what they ought to be doing, and this brother and this sister, how they failed, how they come up short, how they've done this and done that. And the fact of the matter is, we ought to be concerned about our own self. Amen, Preacher Sexton. You know that's right tonight. I'm telling you, if you're not focused on your own self and your problems and your relationship with the Lord, you're focused on the wrong one tonight. Yeah, that's right. Listen, I believe we all live right and do right and all them other rights that's out there. But I'm telling you, these folks, it's not mature, and the mature has to deal with them and be tolerant, long-suffering, and patient until God does a work in their life. Well, amen. That's right. I'm telling you right tonight. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. It's important for you to grow. It's normal. God wants you to grow. And in my studies, I've run across, do you know the Lord wants to prosper you? Now, you can say financially or whatever you want, but I think He wants to prosper you spiritually. I want to read you one verse that kindly has, I don't know if I've ever spent much time on it, but it's in Psalms 35 and verse 27. It says this. I'll give you time to turn. I'd like for you to read this. Here's what it said. It said, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the," listen what the Bible says, "the prosperity of His servant." The Lord takes pleasure in your prosperity. The Lord's not out to make your life bad. He's out to make your life good. It pleases Him to be for your prosperity, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whether it's whatever it might be. The Lord, He's pleased with the prosperity of His servant. That's a pretty good God. I want to read you one more that I come across, if I can find it. It's chapter 84, verse 11. And you all know this, where it says you won't withhold any good thing. I've got the right verse. "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory." Now listen what He says in the last part of verse 11. "No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." I don't know about you, but that blesses my soul tonight. And I know I don't have like a lot of people have, but I've got a promise there. I've got a promise there that no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Man, you can't go wrong living for God. You can't go wrong. It's the best life. It's the most blessed life. When you put the Lord first, He's going to bless and prosper you, and He's going to be pleased to see you prosper. What more do you want? Bye. You say, "Well, here's what I think I want." God knows more what will make you happy than you do. God knows more what will make... Let me say that again. I like the way that sounded. God knows more what will make you happy than you do. You say, "Well, if I get this and this and this, I'll be..." No, God knows what will make you happy. I remember before I started preaching, and I didn't start preaching until I was in my 30s, but I remember thinking this, I'll have a miserable life. I remember thinking that. Everybody else will be having a good time on Saturday and I'll be stuck in a room somewhere trying to get a message together. Brother Miller, I don't know if you wrestle with that, but I grew up in a preacher's home. I knew a little bit about what the life was. And I just sitting there thinking, man, that ain't what I want. I don't want that life. I want to have a good life. I want to be happy. Can I tell you what happened when I surrendered? When I give my life to the Lord, can I tell you, I only started living when I surrendered my life to the Lord. Can I tell you, I found true joy when I started living for the Lord. Can I tell you, He knew more what made me happy than I knew myself. I've never had a happier life than when I surrendered to God and started being obedient to His will for my life. And that'll work for you as well. He knows what's best for you. You ain't even got sense enough to know what'll make you happy. But the Lord does. It's His will to bless you and prosper you. It's His will for you to grow. Well, why is it important? I'm just going to give you a few little truths tonight and we'll be through. Why is it important to grow? Number one, if you're not growing, you're not healthy. You're just not healthy. I see folks that never grow. You, every one of y'all, when I say what I'm getting ready to say, there'll probably be somebody come to every one of your minds. There's folks that's been in church 30 years, nothing more than spiritual babes. Nothing more. Why? They never grew. They never matured. They never came on. Well, what's our responsibility? To pray for them, overlook their ignorance, put up with them till God some way, maybe never will. They may never grow. But just thank God that's not you and not your life and God's helped you. Just be thankful for it. Well, Why is it important? Number one, it's an indication you have some spiritual soundness about your life. If you're not more Christ-like today than you were a year ago, you're sick. I've already said it 4 or 5 times. There's a sickness somewhere. There's a disease eating at you. But if you sense that you're more Christ-like, can I say to you, and I understand we're not always the best judge, but you know if you're away from God or you're closer to God than what you've been in the past. And I'm saying it's an indication. This thing of growing spiritually, it indicates spiritual soundness. And can I say, it leads to usefulness, if I can get the word out, in the Christian life. Babies can't do anything. They can't do anything. They've got to get strong, and they've got to get a little strength. And you know, babies can't even walk. You know how it is. My daughter just had a baby. That little baby can't take one step. It can't even take a fork and put the food to its mouth. It can't even feed itself. That baby can't do anything but just lay there and look. It's a baby. But you know what's going to happen if it keeps getting fed right and it keeps growing normally? One day that baby will be able to kind of pull up. You know the process. Every mom and dad knows the process. They start pulling up. Then they start bumping their chin on the coffee table and getting a pump knot when they fall. But eventually they get up on 2 feet. What's going on? They're growing. Now, does the mom and dad get mad because they're not doing like mom and daddy's doing? Do they get upset and say, "Hey, I'm so disappointed in you. Hey, look how we walk. Why ain't you walking like we're doing? Why don't you eat like that?" You say that'd be ridiculous. Sure it would. So is it when we treat little spiritual babes like that. You have to be understanding. They have to pull up. They have to learn to balance themselves. And then they start that. They take a step, and you know if the legs wobble and all that stuff. But do you get angry and upset when they fall? Do you get upset? No, you pick them up and you tell them, "Honey, that'd be all right." You dust them off, you set them down, and then mama gets in front of them about that far because they're scared to walk, and they do this. Like, come on, you know, encouragement. Can I tell you, it's not much difference in the spiritual life. Brother Allen, you've got to encourage folks. You've got to be long-suffering with folks whose knees are wobbly. Not walking like they ought to walk. But I'll tell you when you need to get upset when they won't try to walk. I'll tell you when you need to get upset when they won't eat. And when you put the good food before them, they won't eat. They won't try to walk. They won't try to do. Hey, there's something bad wrong right there. Hey, when you see that, you need to be upset. But when they're trying and they're just struggling, hey, don't get upset. Just encourage them. They're trying to grow. You got to let them grow. Oh, my. That's what I'm trying to get across to you tonight. Hey, it's my job to preach and hold the bar high. But it's my job to be tolerant of the immature who's trying to get where they're supposed to be. And it's your job to do that. And so there's an importance of growing. It indicates spiritual soundness or spiritual healthiness. It leads to usefulness in the Lord's Word. That little baby of Cadiz, it couldn't do 5 minutes worth of work, productive work. You know why? It's a baby. You know those folks can't do 5 minutes worth of spiritual work. They're babes. You have to tolerate it. And if you're a babe, that's nothing to be ashamed of. Everybody's been a babe. When you got saved, when you were saved, you were a spiritual babe. That's just how it is. And can I say, The importance of growing, number one, it shows spiritual healthiness. It leads to youthfulness in the Lord's Word. But can I say it promotes future growth? You can't ever be 5 years old until you've been 4 years old. You can't ever be 10 years old till you've been 9 years old. You can't be 16 till you've been 15. You see, growth builds on itself. That's just how it is. As you grow, you can't go to the next level till you get to the level just below it. You're never going to be mature unless you get through the teenage years. You're never going to be a teenager unless you get through 1 through 12. So is it spiritually. I'm just trying to say to you tonight, we need to hold the banner high. We need to be as straight as an arrow. We need to line up by the Word of God as close as we can. But we need to understand those folks that struggle. They just struggle. Fact of the matter is, we all struggle to some degree. Well, that's a weak amen. I appreciate that, Brother Don. But you might as well say, I'm a struggler. You know you are tonight. Don't try to fool me. You still have no ball and chain. We call the flesh. Who do you think you're kidding? Hey, when you get behind closed doors, you're a struggler just like the rest of us. Amen. Well, you ain't got me fooled. Put on your fancy church clothes and tie your tie and do all you want to do. But when you get past and behind the facade, I'm telling you, you struggle spiritually because you still have a flesh to deal with. Amen. Amen. Some of us live two lives, one at home and one at church. You didn't think I knew that, did you? That's how it is. These folks that's come in this church and just had a knockdown drag out just before they walked in the door. Act like everything's lovely. I know how it is. You know why? I've got the same flesh you've got. I know how it is. It makes it rough when you're the preacher and you get sideways like that. You go down to the office call, you're like, honey, I'm so sorry. Is she still at home? She's here. You're like, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I'm not going to get up here and preach not being right. Find help it. You never had to repent before you've done something. I'll tell you what, some of you Sunday school teachers and deacons, I bet you need to repent before you teach or do your deacon work. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Rest of you say amen too. Because it's how we are. That's who we are. We just struggle along. But it's important. It promotes, according to our text verse, it promotes steadfastness. Growth helps stabilize you. It helps stabilize you. And so there's some importance behind this. What's some indications of spiritual growth? Preacher, how is it? I want to grow, and I think I am growing. But what's some things that will kind of indicate to me that I'm growing spiritually? Number one, there'll be an increased realization of sin in your life. There'll be sins that used to not bother you that will bother you now. That's right. That's a sign of spiritual growth. It's a sign of spiritual growth. You will not, you'll have an increased sense of inadequacy, of insufficiency, of inability. You'll realize you can't do anything. And that comes as time goes along. Now, some of you know there's some things I can't do. But I'm telling you, when you get where you can do it in the flesh, if you're not careful, you'll get confident in your fleshly ability. But then somewhere as you grow along, you get close to God, you'll realize you can't do anything without Him. That's right. You can't even pray without the Lord helping you. You might as well ask Him to help you when you start praying. Lord, help me to pray. Don't let me go through the motion. I need to pray. You can't do it. You can't even read your Bible unless the Lord helps you. Your mind, have you ever went to read your Bible and your mind's going 1,000 different miles, different ways, a mile a minute? I mean, just running away with you. Hey, and you're reading words, but you couldn't say, you couldn't tell me what those words were if you had to. You know, it takes the Lord to settle your mind down where you read. Fact of the matter is, John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. Amen. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. There's some indication. When you start getting closer to the Lord, you'll start realizing your wretchedness more. You won't feel good about who you are. You won't feel good about you. I see a lot, especially a lot of young folks, they're so smug. I seen a lot of young preachers, they got all the answers. And we all went through that. But what will happen is they go along and they grow, they're going to come to a place that they realize, I'm nothing. I can't do anything. Lord, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. I'm pitiful. I'm no good. Father, I'm sinful. Oh, God, help me to do what you want me to do. That's spiritual growth. That comes with spiritual growth. And I think there's a degree of progressiveness to that. There's a degree of progressiveness. If you're growing, there'll be an increased, if I can use this word, intimacy with the Lord. There'll be an increased intimacy with the Lord. You and the Lord will get sweeter, your fellowship. Ain't nothing like good fellowship with the Lord. I don't know how to tell you about it. I could just give you some examples. It wouldn't mean anything to you, but I just come to the end of the road one day. I was just finished. I was just absolutely beat. My head felt like against a brick wall. I was just at the end. I just got in my bathroom, started praying, and said, Lord, I can't go on. Can't go on. Can I tell you, the Lord met me there. It was on a Saturday, and the Lord met with me there. And when I got through praying and coming out of my bathroom, that's where I was praying at that time. Man, I believe I could have built a skyscraper. I mean, I had the energy. What happened? The Lord visited me. It was so sweet. It's so sweet to talk to the Lord. If you're not in the habit of doing that, I just encourage you, find you a place and just pour your heart out to Him. Tell Him every problem and every trouble and every struggle and every weakness. Just tell Him you love Him. Just tell the Lord you love Him. I believe it pleases Him when we sincerely say and verbalize or talk to Him and tell Him we love Him. I believe it pleases Him. Here's what I'm saying. As you grow, a sign of spiritual growth is a more intimate fellowship with the Lord. It's more special to you. And I wish I could just, if you've not been there, if you could ever get in the presence of the Lord, in the secret place, if I'd use that word, you can just get in the presence of there ain't nothing like it in this world. Nothing like the presence of the Lord. He can take a troubled heart and give you the peace that passeth all understanding. He just has that ability. He can take somebody that's just worn out in the work and He can make you fresh as a daisy. He can understand where you're at when nobody else can. I'm telling you, as you grow in grace, this fellowship with the Lord will come more sweeter, more intimate, more close. I don't even have the word, I guess, to describe it. But it'll just be better. It'll just get better. And as you grow, it'll get better and better. That's an indication of spiritual growth. There'll be a desire for spiritual things. I desire the things of the Lord. the world, and I've still got a flesh, and I still get worldly as anybody can. I understand that. But in my soul, I have a desire for spiritual things. I desire to come to the house of God. It's not a chore for me to come. I want to come. In fact, I need to come. I have to come. I'm like my grandmother. If I had to get a ride, I'd be calling on Saturday to make sure they wasn't going to forget me. I mean, she wanted to go to church. Why? She had grown in grace. She had an appetite for the things that were spiritual. And my, that's a sign of spiritual growth. There'll be an increased desire to do something for God. I don't know about you, but I want to do something for God. I want to make a mark for God. I want to influence somebody, lead somebody to God, at least give them the truth of the gospel so they make a choice one way or another. I want to help somebody. I want to make a mark for the Lord. There's something in me that makes me want to do something for the glory of God. I believe that progresses as we grow in the Lord. I think that's a good sign in your life. There'll be an increased feeling of not belonging with the world's crowd as you grow in grace. We talked about that some this morning. God's people don't fit. Can I tell you about the only place I feel, the only crowd I feel comfortable around is God's people. And some of them I struggle with. I have to be around people that worship like I do, believe like I do, but to really feel like I'm at home. You get me out in the world and I'm as out of place as a fish out of water. That's just how it is. I can't talk the language. I can't fit in. I can't contribute to the conversation most of the time. I'm just out of place. As you grow in grace, that gets more and more and more prevalent in your life. And then another indicator of growing in grace is an increased sense of suffering and struggling. And I can't remember the scripture. I believe it's 1 Peter 5. Where he says, after you have suffered a while, he will strengthen, settle, maybe perfect you. I believe it's 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me just look right here close. Verse 10, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You know why you suffer? To help you. You know why God allows hard? You know what prosperity does? It'll drive you away from the Lord. Prosperity drives you away from the Lord. Maybe that's what's wrong with America to some degree. I don't know. But you tell me anybody that's got thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and it drove them closer to the Lord. I don't believe you'll find many. But you let some hardship come along. Persecution. Some struggles. You know what it'll do? You're a true child of God. It'll drive you to the Savior. Drive you to your knees. Be called out, oh God. And when you're weak, that's when you'll be strong. And so, this thing of suffering, these things are all things that come. It all comes. It's all indicators of spiritual growth. It comes with spiritual growth. Don't think it odd. Thank God. And I'm not saying y'all to be some kind of sadist or something like that and just be about suffering and pain, but try to look at it as God doing a work in your life. Doing a work of some kind, maturing you, growing you up, making you what you ought to be. Well, lastly, let me just give you this. Well, how do you grow? How do you grow? Well, I'd say Blake could tell us how you grow in the Lord. Number one, can I say this? Get under the watch care of somebody, some spiritually mature person. Find you a spiritual what do you call a man you look up to? I don't know. Find you a spiritual hero. Find you somebody you wanna be like. Somebody that's on the money and somebody you can listen to and let them help you. Submit to what they say. You ever seen a little baby grow up without parents? We just talked about it. That little baby Katie's can't even put a fork to its mouth or a spoon. They have to actually stick the bottle. If you can believe it, they have to stick the bottle in the baby's mouth. They have to do that. You say, well, my goodness, it can't even... It'd starve if it wasn't somebody older overseeing it. Exactly right. Let me ask you this. How many people have you seen prosper spiritually who rebelled against their pastor? Now, I'm just asking. You may know some. I don't. You may know some. How many children have you seen prosper rebelled against their parents? You may know some. I don't. There is something to be said. That little baby should spit out the bottle, shut its mouth, wouldn't drink, wouldn't do anything, wouldn't try to walk. Can I tell you, it's not going to get help. You have to have somebody helping you along in this Christian life. I don't care what stage you're at. You need somebody more spiritually mature than you that you can look to, but you ought to have somebody less spiritually mature you're trying to help. Wouldn't you think that'd be a good idea? I do. And so, number one, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to submit to somebody and listen to what they have to say. The fact of the matter is, you don't have all the answers. The fact of the matter is, you're not the smartest saint in town. The fact of the matter is, there's folks smarter than you, and you'd be wise to listen to them. It's like a little child won't listen to his parents. It's headed for trouble. It's headed. That's why you discipline them. I forgot the little saying, but Kelly Beth gave me a little saying. Boy, I thought it's so good. Discipline is not, tell me Kelly Beth, and I'll repeat it. Discipline is something you do for a child and not to a child. Don't you think that's a good statement? It's something you do for a child. You're helping that child, not to him, but for him. So it is in the Christian life. You need somebody to help you and to help you get your discipline and your. And I understand it all comes from the Lord, but the Lord uses people. There has to be, you have to be under the watch care of the more mature. There has to be submission to spiritual authority. And then you're going to have to digest the Word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. You know why a lot of people never grow? They don't know where the book of Genesis is. That's the honor. I mean, I'm over-exaggerating, but they know nothing about the Word of God. They have no truth about the Word of God. Listen, there's folks try to tell me how it is. They don't read 10 chapters a week. I read 10 chapters a day sometimes. I stay in the book and they don't open the book, but yet they know more than me. There's something wrong somewhere. I'm blessed to do that, and I'm thankful for it. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being and my knowledge is this much. My knowledge is not. It's not anything. I'm not bragging about what I know. But these folks that know a whole lot less than me and think they know more. You better digest the Word of God, and then you're going to have to be prayerful. You're going to have to be a prayerful. That's just, we're back to that communion with the Lord again. And then lastly, you're going to have to get involved in spiritual activities. You're going to have to get involved. If that little baby never tried to take a step, would it ever progress? Obvious answer, no. somewhere that baby, even though it's afraid it's going to fall, and even though it's wobbly, it's got to try to take a step. It's got to try. If you never try, you'll never grow. You say, I might fail. That baby fails. In fact, it fails a whole lot before it hits the floor a lot, skins its head, hurts itself. But somewhere, it makes progress. And it makes progress. And it makes progress, and it grows. And it gets so confident, it starts running when it ought to be walking. And it starts falling again. But one day, it learns how to run. And it does that because it's willing to try. It gets involved in the work that it ought to be doing. And I want to say to you, I want to say to you tonight, get involved in the church. Everybody can't preach, everybody can't teach, but we can all be involved. And will you fail if you get involved? Most likely. But can I tell you what to do? Just get up and go again. And when you fail again, get up and go again. When you fail again, just get involved. How many people do you know that just live on the fringe of the church? Do you know anybody that's just on the edge? They won't get in. They won't get involved. They're just on the outside edge. And I know everybody can't be working a job in the church. You've got to have people listen. You've got to, the choir sings. You've got to have somebody listen. Somebody's got to be prayer warriors and carry a private burden for the work of the Lord. I understand that. I'm not throwing off on that. Here's all I'm saying. Get involved. Get in it. You're not going to grow if you don't get involved. It just don't happen. That little baby has to try if it's going to grow. And so must you. And so here's what I'm saying tonight. We need to grow. And if you are mature, you need to be patient and long-suffering with the weak. You need to overlook their immaturity. They do crazy things sometimes. But it doesn't mean they're bad people. It just means they're immature and they're struggling. And so let's love one another. That's what I'm saying. And you'll get your feelings hurt. Somebody will say something to hurt you. Or worse yet, say something about your child and it hits you wrong. Or I don't know how the devil's going to attack you, but it's just the way it is. But just get over it. Love one another. And if somebody's not measuring up to your yardstick, instead of talking about them, pray for them. Love them. And focus on your growth. Focus on you growing. Being what you ought to be. And you know what? God will bless you for that. God will bless you. You can't twist and pull and tug and get somebody where you want them to be. That's God's business. That's His job. You just be sure you're right and pray for others. Brother Allen, let's come tonight with just a verse of a song. If you just bow your heads for a minute. God spoke to your heart, would you just be obedient? That's all. That's really where we're at around here. You just obey the Spirit of God. Do what God would have you to do. We're going to have a song, and a verse of a song. Brother Allen gets ready.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee.